I'd like to start today by painting a little picture with words for you, and it's from camp, of course, but I hope it will be helpful for our reflection. I want you to imagine Dan Isaacs at camp up on the mountain. Dan was the tallest of all the people at camp, and he and our friend Pete were counselors in a cabin for the youngest boys in camp, the elementary school boys. And one of the boys that Dan was responsible for was Patrick. And Patrick was the youngest kid at camp. In fact, I looked carefully, he was actually too young to be at camp, but somehow they snuck him in. And Patrick was not 3 feet and a half tall. And in the opening moment of camp, there was some consternation as Patrick's parents were leaving him. It was his first time away overnight from his family. And Dan was right there and began his good work on your behalf to remind Patrick that we were going to have great fun, that this was going to be okay. And immediately this bond was formed between the tallest person at camp and the smallest person at camp. And pretty soon, everywhere Dan went, Patrick went. You would see them coming up from the soccer field or coming down the mountain after we worshiped or on their way over to breakfast or wherever they were going. And turns out Patrick is a bit of a talker. So as you would see them coming, you would see Patrick looking up at Dan, talking all the way, and Dan walking along, nodding and smiling the whole time. And this became sort of a running joke at camp, a good-hearted joke. And at one moment when our group was leading evening vespers, that's the worship that we led, our group decided to do a skit using masks and talking about how we often live in the world with our masks on. And in this silent skit, we were all walking around with masks that we had created for ourselves. Very campy stuff going on here. And at the front of the skit, Patrick, smallest, Dan, tallest, stopped to look at each other, and there was a frozen scene as gently Patrick begins to take off his mask and look up at Dan, and then Dan looks down at Patrick and begins to take off his mask, and then they embrace. And then they look at all the rest of us, and soon the masks begin to come off as a celebration of us trying to live who we really are in the world. It was a beautiful picture. Thank you, Dan, so much for the way you loved Patrick. Sorry. It reminded me every day of what I wanted to talk to you about. There is a quote that I used for the title of my reflection today. Perhaps you are familiar with it. It's really about the decision to have children. And this lovely writer, Elizabeth Stone, reminds us that the decision is a choice forever to allow a bit of your heart to go walking around outside in the world. And I think this is such a beautiful idea of what love is really all about. And I would like to reflect on a kind of love for us today in which we are allowing a part of ourselves, a part of our heart, to be walking around in the world. And if you're not sure what I mean, just think about Dan and Patrick. And in their spirit, would you pray with me, please? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in another way of being in this world, a way of our committing our lives to love, to being love, no matter what. Help us believe not only with our thoughts and our words, but God, help us believe today through the living of our very lives. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a whisper to Linda, and I didn't get the whole part out. Actually, both of these scriptures are from our wedding service. I chose them because I knew, I remembered, it was our 40th wedding anniversary. Very good of me to do that for a lot of reasons. But I wanted the chance to go back to the ceremony that Jill and I celebrated and think about love in terms of the laboratory of love that we have that teaches us more about love, and that is family, whether it is the people that we are partnered with or married to, or our children or our siblings, or family is a laboratory of love. And I wanted to reflect on this, especially the Deuteronomy reading today, because it was a very careful choice that Jill and I made together, choosing to read this. This particular scripture, I like to think of it as Moses' last lecture. I don't know if you remember the series, the book, about 20 years ago, a university professor wrote a book with this thing called The Last Lecture, meaning what would you say to other people if you had one more shot? If this was going to be it, what words do you want to leave behind? What would be your wisdom? What would you say to everybody? And this is exactly what Moses is doing. A couple chapters after this, he goes to the mountain right outside the promised land. They're about to go in, and he doesn't get to go into the promised land. I don't know if you remember, this marvelous teacher does this 40 years of teaching the people, and they arrive in the promised land, and he dies on the mountain, and they go in without him. And these words that you hear today are his last lecture. This is what I want you to remember. And Jill and I chose this for two very specific reasons, and I'd like to reflect on those with you a little bit when thinking about love in all its forms. The first is the idea of choice. Moses uses this idea of choose this. You're going to have a lot of choices. Choose this every day. This idea that we are invited to choose love every morning. It's not something you do once and it's always there. It's something you have to keep coming back to, and you've got to choose it every day. You've got to kind of wake up and say, if I'm not careful, I'm going to be blown away by the winds of the culture in which I live. So I need to make sure that I'm getting up every day and saying, I choose this. In the text, the traditional English translation, we use the word commandment a lot, and I just want to do a little teaching around that. The word in Hebrew is mitzvot. And English, we talk about it as a commandment, God's mitzvot, a commandment. But I think that it is a way. It is God understands who we are and how we can live our fullest. And so this is God's vision for us, God's way for us, God's intention. And according to Moses, what he says to the people is, every morning you wake up and I want you to choose God's vision for the world. I want you to choose God's vision, God's intention, God's way in the world. You've got to choose this every day. And that was really important to our understanding of love. What's so remarkable is, if we really understood what marriage was, none of us would ever do it, right? Like, it is much harder and much, the whole family thing, having children, there's no doubt about it. We stumble into this, but it requires so much more of us. But luckily, we got the idea that in order for 40 years to happen, you've got to choose it every day, and sometimes several times a day, and sometimes you choose it even when you don't want it. So the choice part was really important to us. I choose you today and every day. I choose you. I choose this. I choose love. But the second part that was also so important to us was this idea that really starts the reading. If you got those first few lines, Moses says to them, you might think that this is really hard, and it is, but don't think that it's way up there in heaven. Don't think this is a pie in the sky kind of idea where you have to say, hey, which one of us is going to be strong and smart enough to go get this? Uh-uh. It's not way up there. Or don't think that we're going to need a really good boat to go all the way across the sea. He uses these metaphors. Don't think it's out there. This love, do you know where it is? It's right here. It is already written in your heart. You just need to choose it. It's right here. It's been written. The tough part about love and being willing to let a little bit of your heart walk around outside your body is that this act is incredibly vulnerable. I think that's what Elizabeth Stone really wanted to say, is this work of love is not for the faint of heart. Whether it is marriage or parenting or being a sibling or loving somebody new or loving someone who really needs it, it requires you to open yourself in a way you might get hurt. You might get hurt. You can't love if you're all closed up. You can't. It's much safer. I get it. I get why we do it. I get why we shut down, why we put up the walls. I get why my heart is hard. But you can't love that way. It requires you to open up to the degree that you might get hurt. And you probably are going to get hurt. And guess what? When you get hurt, the idea is that you do it again anyway. You choose this each and every day. Because yesterday, I got hurt. And I don't want to do it anymore. Moses understood that. And we really, we kind of do too. But what's being asked of us this day and every day is to come back around and say, yeah, but the love is already here. And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to choose you, you and you and you and you and you and you and them and all of it. I'm going to choose it every day so that we can live. That's the final line. So that we can live this life that God intends for us. Choose this so that you and the world can live a joyful, loving, peaceful, rich, abundant life. The abundance, from Dan's garden, by the way, it's already here. The love, already here. The choice, that's up to us. Choose life and live. Amen.